You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. COVID and creativity. Thanks to organizations like the Juno Douglas City Museum and the City and Borough of Juno, the two have gone hand in hand. Joining us now to talk about some of the art that was produced through CARES Act funding, Beth Weigel, director of the museum, and Lily Hope, one of the artists who produced work for this new collection. Hello, Beth and Lily.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for being with us today. Beth, let's start with you. What kind of projects did the CARES Act funding bring in, and were they all COVID-inspired?
Well, the Assembly, voted on this spending of this money, and the Juno Arts and Humanities Council was the administrator of the grant money. And the one word that stuck out to me when this all came together was trying to capture the zeitgeist of this moment in time, so this COVID pandemic time frame that we're in. And it really was kind of wide open in a lot of ways. I think many people interpreted that to mean creating art that represented something about the COVID-19 pandemic, whereas other people were creating things that just were their usual kinds of art, but it was funded through this CARES Act money. And so because it was primarily a workplace grant, we wanted to make sure that people were able to continue working, and our artists are some of our hardest working people. And so that was one of the reasons for this CARES Act funding money through the Assembly.
And Beth, I understand some of the art will be in the museum's permanent collection. Will it sort of be like a pandemic time capsule?
Well, that's a good way of putting it a little bit. Some of it, yes. There's obviously been a lot of things created through this project. And we have limited resources for storing and adding things to the permanent collection. So we have selected a few things that really spoke to us on that level. CBJ does own all of the artwork that was created. The things that we've selected include the Chilkat protector masks that Lily created, and she can talk a little bit more about those. A bentwood box created by Abel Ryan, and these postcards that were part of it's called COVID Secrets, Larissa Manuel. So each one of those postcards, there's, I think, 50 of them or so that were meant to be stored inside of this bentwood box. There's three panels that were also created by Abel Ryan. A regalia basket created by Della Cheney, and a couple of each. There was some artistic designed face masks. So we all are wearing our face masks, but that was designed, and so we took one of each one of those by Kleinhens, is her last name, Christine Kleinhens. And we're still kind of thinking about some of the other pieces as well, but those were the ones we initially said, yes, we wanted to take those into the collection.
Lily, like Beth said, the Chilkat protection masks that you made will be part of this permanent collection. They're so beautifully woven. What's the thinking behind these pieces?
Well, we've been, what was I going to say? Some of the most iconic artwork that has been made throughout history that we still talk about are the ones that were created during or in response to significant historical events. And Chilkat weavings being one of them, not all the time, but Chilkat weavings themselves, the work that I do, records history throughout the indigenous peoples of Southeast Alaska. With clan stories and things like that. So it seemed fitting when I first wove this mask to weave a series of them to really document what's happening right now in the Chilkat way. I felt like it was really inspired that the Assembly and the Jack partnered together to make this happen. And the opportunity to weave a few masks for the CBJ was just, I was totally moved and honored to do that. And these three that actually are coming out or that are now in the collection are called Ancestral Indigenous Protectors. So this triptych of hand-woven masks speaks to the strength or leans on the strength of our ancestors, reinstating some historical Indigenous protection for all members of our community, inclusive of all genders, sexual expression, and self-identity. So the triple of them, we have the first one that is a Raven's Tail pattern that uses all our ancestors' design, one of the most ancient of Raven's Tail patterns, and the next one woven in horizontal bands of the LGBTQIA plus recognized colors, red through purple, and the third mask woven in light pink, light blue, and cream, representing our transgender population. So these masks displayed together highlight the cultural significance of our Two-Spirit people in Tlingit Haida and Tsimshian people's history. We used to turn to LGBTQIA plus and transgender persons as storytellers and knowledge keepers. And since colonization, our inclusion of these Two-Spirit and gender transgender tribal members needs remembering. So these masks are sparking a multifold contemporary conversation, summoning strength through acknowledging all our ancestors, calling for a reawakening of our cultural commitments to protect and serve our communities, and reinstating the significance of all of our members and that all peoples are worthy of protection. So that doesn't speak to the zeitgeist of our nation in multiple layers. I don't know what does.
I have to agree, Lily. You look at these masks and they say so much. They say it's, you know, they're three masks and they're about the size of the one you'd wear on your face. And they say so much. There's so much that went into them. And it's just such an effective art piece. So well done to you.
Thanks.
And Beth, back to you. It sounds like this project was sort of a win-win. Artists got income. We got amazing work. What will happen to the pieces that aren't part of the permanent collection? I know you have a plan for those.
Well, it's an evolving plan, I think, in many ways. For right now, many of those pieces are in the Juno Arts and Humanities Council possession. And actually, Nancy has been working really hard to come up with interesting and new, different ways to show them and exhibit them. Obviously, you can go to their website and see everything online. There were a lot of things that didn't actually, that were created in part of the, in this grant that were not physical objects. Obviously, we're mostly concerned here with physical objects that were created, but there was a lot of different kinds of things, including dance and classes and all of things that happened digitally as well as physical objects that were created. And so I know for First Friday in a couple days here, she has coordinated with the Mendenhall Mall, and there is an empty little storefront right inside the door where you go into one of the entrances of that Mendenhall Mall. And she's going to be exhibiting some of the pieces there. It'll be a collection of some of the paintings, for example, M.K. McNaughton, Crystal Cudworth, Constant Baltuck. There were two quilts that were created as well as part of this project. I believe one of them will be there. And we are still considering one of those quilts for the collection as well as some of this artwork. We just knew the pieces that we immediately wanted, and we still have to kind of consider some of the other pieces. But and then there'll be, there are these amazing animal cutouts with sort of COVID messages on them and wood panels, and those will be there, there by Schaefer. And there's also were these coloring books that were created, and like I said, these art face masks. So she'll be handing out those things. Those we have also here at the museum, many of those face masks, and we'll be also distributing them through the public libraries and here at the museum once we all get back open, which we hope will be soon. And so she's been really figuring out different ways to exhibit that. So that'll be happening Friday at the Mendenhall Mall through the weekend and perhaps longer. And then I know that there was, for example, one of the projects was by Mark Minns, I think his last name is. And he is a photographer, and he wanted to do portraits of our healthcare workers at the hospital. Minns. TZ is his last name. And so he coordinated at the hospital, and I'm not sure how many total he took of these portraits, but he framed and printed out 20 of them. And so working with Katie Bosler, the community outreach person at the hospital, she's organizing to figure out where they can be hung and installed inside of the hospital. There was also another painting by, I think her name was Louise Miller, is Louise Miller. She did another healthcare worker painting. So again, everyone, healthcare workers in their masks and their, you know, gear. And so those are the kinds of things that will be given over to Bartlett to find places to exhibit. And possibly one of the quilts, a lot of the artwork that the artists did, like Constance Baltuck and M.K. McNaughton, there were some other prints that were done called Forest. I can't think of the last name of it, but they're very soothing and very calming pieces. And there's the potential for them to maybe go somewhere like the hospital as well, where, you know, people might be feeling some anxiety, like we've all been feeling during this pandemic. And, you know, we still having a conversation. We have a small committee. So, for example, the panels that we did bring into our collection by Abel Ryan, they're 4-foot by 7-inch square, and there's 3 of them. So we need a 20-foot at least space to exhibit those. So we're working with other groups around town. Hopefully, maybe Tlingit Haida will be able to find a space for that to be exhibited, because we just don't have that kind of wall space here at the City Museum. It's evolving. So we'll see what happens here as we continue to accept the pieces. And there's 2 pieces that are public art pieces as well. There's a Tlingit canoe that's being created by Robert Mills. It's looking amazing. And that will need to be installed somewhere in a public space. It's like a 20-foot canoe. And then there's Rachel Jusler made these, they're mosaics, and there's, I believe, 32 of them. And they all have a letter and a number on them, and they'll be installed in various places throughout the city, you know, in the spring or summer, and throughout downtown and when you go and find these things, there'll be some, you know, clues maybe as to how to find them, kind of like a scavenger hunt. You'll go and you have a form, and you can fill it out with the number 1's letter and 2, and eventually that spells out a message that will have a sort of COVID secret message, I guess, or a hopeful message of some sort based on getting through this pandemic. So there's those sorts of things still need, you know, to be decided how we're going to get those installed. And again, some of the things get distributed, like the coloring books and the masks and whatnot. So it's an ongoing thing. And for now, everything that's both digital and objects, pictures of the objects, exist in a link on the Juno Arts and Humanities Council's website. They're going to upgrade that into a different kind of a virtual exhibit here over the next few weeks as well. So we aren't quite done with the project, but it certainly has been an exciting time, and we've just seen so many amazing things that the artists have done.
Lily, we're just, thank you, Beth and Lily, we're just about out of time, but from the artist perspective, I wanted to ask if this came to you at a good moment. I know it had a tight timeline, which must have been challenging, but was it helpful as well?
Yes. I think that's been the most, yes, myself and quite a few of the other artists were severely impacted, as many small businesses were also impacted. And I just want to give a shout out to the City Assembly and the Jack again to say thank you for supporting small businesses that are also artists, because it was really critical timing to carry us through the new year.
I'm happy to hear that. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Beth Weigel and Lily Hope, and thanks for giving us an appreciation of a project that was one silver lining under this cloud of COVID. Thanks again, you two.
Thank you.
Shelley.